Welcome to day 304. We are up to Perek Bey's Mishnah Yud Zayin, and this is the very last Mishnah of this second Perek of Maseches Orla. Now, not only is this the last Mishnah of the Perek, but it's also the very last Mishnah to follow the same formula that we've seen in our previous Mishnayos, in which two different things fall into a larger dish, they all get mixed together. The question is, do they combine, do they not combine? So we're going to see precisely that same formula in today's Mishnah, just with different circumstances. So if the previous Mishnayos have been somewhat confusing, or you haven't enjoyed them as much as perhaps some other Mishnayos, not to worry, this is the very last Mishnah that follows this formula. But also, because we've seen it so many times, this should be much, you know, quite easy for us to understand, because we know exactly where the Mishnah is going. So says Mishnah Yud Zayin, Basar Katshei Kedashim, if you have meat of a Katshei Kedashim, which is the higher type of korban offering, that meat was only allowed to be eaten by kohanim. Ubasar kachek kalim, and you have meat from a different type of korban, a lower level korban perhaps, that even non-kohanim are allowed to partake of. But whether it's kachek kadashim or kachek kalim, they do have one thing in common. Again, kachek kadashim can only be eaten by a kohen, kachek kalim can be eaten by even non-kohanim. But both of them, because they are meat of a korban, both of them cannot be eaten by someone who is tamei. They need to remain tahor. Now, both of those meat, the kachek kadashim and the kachek kalim, combine, they fall into a larger dish, shenish bashlu im basar hataiva. Basar hataiva is I guess a somewhat crude way of saying meat of desire, meaning anyone can eat it. It's meat that is allowed to be eaten by anyone. So these two different things, kachek kadashim, fall into a larger dish of just regular meat that's cooking. Says the Mishnah, asar l'tmeim, umutar l'tahorim. So the piece that I didn't say, although it's exactly what we've seen previously, is that there isn't enough regular meat, or I should say there is enough regular meat to nullify either of the things that fell in on their own. So there is enough meat to nullify the kachek kadashim, and there is enough meat to nullify the kachek kalim, but there is not enough meat to nullify them both together. So if they were to combine, then they would not be nullified. So we say, asar l'tameim, someone who is tameh is not allowed to eat any of the meat, because we assume that the kachek kadashim and the kachek kalim, which are both not allowed to be eaten by someone who is tameh, by someone who is impure. So in that way, they are similar, and therefore they combine and make it us, or make it prohibited to someone who is tummy, because in that way there isn't enough of the other meat to nullify those two things combined. So since they have the common denominator in which they cannot be eaten by someone who's tummy, then someone who's tummy is not allowed to eat the entirety of the dish because it's not nullified. But umutra letahorim, but it is allowed to be eaten by someone who is pure, even a non-kohen, because if you're pure, so then you are allowed to eat kachek kalim, and then we assume they do not combine because you're allowed to eat one of them, and therefore the regular meat is going to then nullify the kachek kadashim, which is only allowed to be eaten by a kohen. So therefore, that part's nullified. And then you're allowed to eat someone who is tahor is allowed to eat the entirety of it. They cannot combine because someone who is tahor is allowed to eat one of them, and therefore they don't share that common denominator. That is the end of Perek Beis, and now we begin the third Perek of Maseches Orla, and really the final Perek of Maseches Orla. So we know that in general, Orla, again, because we've gotten somewhat off topic, just a basic reminder, Orla is fruit during the first 3 years of a tree's existence. You are not allowed to partake of that fruit, you are not allowed to eat it. But not only are you not allowed to eat it, here's the key for these Mishnayos, you're also not allowed to get any benefit from it. So what does that mean, getting benefits? And the Mishnah is going to give us a few examples. Says Mishnah Aleph, Beged shetzavok beklipe orla. If you have a garment that was dyed with the outer part, with the shell, with the peel of orla fruit, then yidalek, you must burn it, meaning you are not allowed to get any benefit from it because it was dyed with the orla fruit, and that is enough of a use to be impacted by the orla such that it got benefit, was enhanced by the orla. You're not allowed to get benefit from it. You'd have to burn that garment. Now, nis'arav ba'achirim, if that garment that was dyed with the orla fruit was now mixed in, you have a whole batch of garments, and they were all mixed together. Imagine it's a shirt that got the dye from orla fruit, and now it's in a big pile of other shirts, and you don't know which one it is. Kulam yidalku. You have to burn all of them. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, even if you have the normal ratio of 200 to 1, which is what we said you need in order to nullify orla, still you'd have to burn all of them. Why? Why wouldn't it be nullified, like orla generally is? So the answer is because Rabbi Meir seems to say that a shirt on its own is considered, or a garment on its own is considered a davar chashev, something that is significant. And as we know, things that are significant can never be nullified. The rules of bitul, the rules of nullification, only work on things that are not significant in their own right, and therefore they can be nullified. But if something is significant, it can never be nullified, even with the proper ratio. So Rabbi Meir thinks that applies to garments. The Chachamim omrim, no, ya'ala be'echon masayim. The Chachamim say, no, it would be nullified just like any other part of Orla, if there are more than 200 other shirts that did not get the benefit, that did not get their dyes from Orla, then that would nullify the one shirt that did. Apparently, the garment, the shirt, according to the Chum, is not enough of a davar chashuv, not enough of a significant item on its own, such that it can never be nullified, and therefore it could be nullified with the normal ratio of Orla. That is Mishnah Aleph. We'll continue with Mishnah Beis tomorrow.